Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. This is the regular meeting of the New Orleans Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System. It's now 9 o'clock. It's February 22nd, 2021. And could we have a roll call, please?
Sure. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Ms. King?
Here.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Kovacs?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Quorum.
All right, thank you. Could Mr. Siddiqui tell us who else is attending the meeting?
Sure. I've got ACA Carroll, Ms. Sawa, Mr. Gopalan, Mr. Silver, Ms. Ford, Mr. Sawa, Mr. Allen, Mr. Campbell, Ms. Turk, Mr. Bell, Ms. Johnson, Ms. King, Mr. Kovac, Mr. McLean, Mr. Conrad, Mr. Brown, Mr. Cortright, Mr. Klusman, and Mr. Lubarsky, Ms. Wills, and Terry Siddiqui.
All right, thank you. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Do we have any discussion on the minutes? All right, is there a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
Bell, a motion.
Mr. Campbell, also.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Klusman.
Yes, Mr. Klusman.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Klusman here.
Yes, okay, we have a motion and a second, so go ahead and state your comment.
I think my audio is cutting out.
Mr. Klusman, we can hear you.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay, I just got, I have an issue on page 5 of the minutes.
We've not show up.
There's a sentence in there attributed to me that says, he said they should not be doing a lot of work on this as it was a council resolution. I don't really know what that means. It kind of doesn't make sense. So I don't know if I'm fine with it without that sentence. Otherwise, we need to correct that sentence because it really doesn't make any sense.
Does Mr. Allen, Mr. Klusman, will strike the sentence as you request.
Great. It's fine otherwise. Thank you.
All right. If there's no objection by the movements, I will restate the motion to and would be to approve the minutes with the sentence that was objected to stricken. Is there any objection to me stating the motion that way? No. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any other objections? No objections. Motion passes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. This is Molly King. Is there a way I can barely hear you, Chairman Conrad?
Sorry, I'll speak up. You make sure my microphone's not obstructed. All right. The next item is appointment of committees for 2020. And you should have a sheet that shows the appointments in the packet. I don't think this requires any sort of action on our part. These appointments are now made.
Welcome to WebEx. Enter your access code or meeting number followed by.
So I want to welcome you, those of you who are in the committees, and wish you luck in your number. And hope you enjoy your service. The next item. The next item is the two. I seem to be giving echoing.
Mr. Chair, calling in with the phone also. If you want to mute your computer speaker, please, or kill the volume on computer speaker, please. number ending in 02, I think.
Yeah, Carrie, that, Mr. Klusman, my computer's not doing audio very well.
Okay, can you hear me all right now?
I'm working on the phone, so I'll stay on the phone.
All right. The next item is the Chief Investment Officer's report. Mr. Zober.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Spauer has prepared a performance update for the board this morning.
Mr. Spauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The fund ended the month of January with a value of $5.56 billion. Most major markets were down slightly in January, so that led to a fund return of minus 5 basis points, which outperformed the blended benchmark by approximately 19 basis points. The main driver of that relative outperformance was the fund's style bias, primarily U.S. small cap. So U.S. small caps were up about 5% in the month compared to U.S. large caps, which were down 0.8%. So the fund saw a nice benefit from its small cap bias. As of February 18th, fund is up approximately 3% in February, which brings the year-to-date return to up approximately 2.9%. The fund's approximate value is $5.74 billion, and 11 out of the fund's 16 active managers are outperforming year-to-date. So public equity and fixed income, along with the total fund, are exceeding their respective benchmarks year-to-date as well. Year-to-date, the fund has generated investment gains of $164.2 million, paid out benefits and expenses of $38.2 million, and has received contributions of $77.9 million. The monthly withdrawals and cash flow movements, we'll be discussing those in item 3B today. So I'll save comments on those for that item. But if there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time.
Are there any questions for Mr. Sawyer? All right, no questions, so we'll move on to the next item, which is approval of the dimensional fund advisory contract amendment. Mr. Zober, can you explain what this is?
Derek, you can take this too.
Thanks, David. I was prepared to speak to this one. So this is another one of those easy contract amendments that we get from time to time. DFA has offered to lower the fees on our U.S. large cap value separate account that they manage for us. So the amendment, the only thing that changes is the fee schedule on the last page, and they're lowering the annual fee for the first $100 million of AUM. It's going from 23 basis points down to 19, and for amounts over $100 million is going from 18 basis points down to 16. So at our current asset levels, this comes out to roughly $50,000 a year in savings. So obviously we would recommend that the board approve this. I'll also state this was reviewed by Mr. Carroll, and he signed off on it, didn't see any problems with the amendment. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them. Otherwise, as I said, we recommend approval.
All right, any questions for Mr. Sauer? Okay, no questions. Could we have a motion to approve?
Trouble, Mr. Motion.
Do we have a second?
Sauer will second.
Well, thank you. The motion is to approve the Dimensional Fund Advisory Contract Amendment. The motion has been made and seconded. Are there any objections? No objections to the motion. The motion passes. The next item is slated for a closed session. So we will now proceed to do that. Please be advised that the investment committee will vote to convene in closed session on the following item. Approval recommendation regarding Newton allocation as provided in section 19.851E Wisconsin State Statutes. To deliberate or negotiate the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specific public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require closed session. Investment committee may then vote to reconvene to open a following closed session. Do we have a motion to go into closed session?
Motion to go into closed session. This is Ms. King.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Campbell, I will second.
We have a motion and a second to run closed session. Any objections? I suppose we should take a roll call, right?
Yes. Mr. Bell?
Aye.
Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Quorum, and if you just say the time and then I'll pause the recorder. Thanks.
All right, it's 11:12 a.m. and we are now in closed session.
9:12? Thanks.
Are we open, Mr. Siddiqui?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation regarding Newton allocation?
Mr. Campbell, I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Is there a second?
Kovac, second.
Kovac seconds. Any objections? No objections here. The motion passes. The next item on the agenda is the investment committee report.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to, if you don't mind, just one more thing to mention as part
sure.
of the
master.
Apologize. But I wanted to make sure that everyone, that all of you are made aware that very sadly, David Villa, Executive Director and Chief Investment Officer over at SWIB, passed away last week. He was only 66 years old. He's largely credited for having the vision and leadership that turned SWIB into one of the most successful and well-respected public funds in the United States and even around the world. In addition to just being a great person, I got to know him a little bit over the years. He also felt very strongly about and was a great advocate for a public pension fund, not just across the U.S., but in particular Wisconsin. So our thoughts are with SWIB and Mr. V, friends and family.
Thank you, Mr. Zilber. I'm sure we appreciate and the board appreciates your comments. We didn't know the individual, but we knew of his accomplishments. So thank you for that. The next item is the report of the Administrative and Operations Committee. Yeah.
The Investment Committee report is next. Item 4.
Oh, excuse me. I guess I jumped ahead of schedule here. Yes. Item 4, Investment Committee, Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And good morning. At the February 11th meeting, the Investment Committee unanimously elected Mr. Conrad as its vice chair. Thank you, Mr. Conrad.
Thank you.
Next, Callan provided a 2021 work plan, and after that, they presented a real assets educational program that covered real estate, infrastructure, farmland, and timberland. Callan is planning to propose some asset mixes for how to implement the fund's new 13% target to real assets at the April investment meeting. Next, the staff presented updates to the fund's statements of investment policy that incorporate the new asset allocation approved in the recent asset liability modeling study. The effective date for this in the fund's new benchmark will be on April 1st of this year. it was also discussed the guidelines that changed the request made by Dimensional Fund Advisors and MFS. The guideline changes for the DFA U.S. Small Cap Value Collective Fund that ERS invests in replaces a reference to the median market capitalization being lowered than the Russell 2000 Value Index to now say that at least 80% of the portfolio will be invested in small capitalization companies. The guideline change for MFS increases the maximum that the portfolio can hold in any single company from 5% to a 7%. Next, Callum provided an update on the Luma sales within the context of Dan Fuss's upcoming move to a senior advisor role, and staff presented a due diligence report on AQR, the fund's fourth quarter 2020 performance report, and finally the annual value add analysis. Lastly, the committee went into closed session regarding the Newton due diligence report, and the investment committee recommends approval of the following three items. Number one, the approval of statement of investment policy update. Second would be approval of Dimensional Fund Advisors guidelines change and approval of the MFS guideline change. That would conclude the report, Mr. Chairman, from the investment committee.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bell, for that report. As far as these three items go, Mr. Zilber, do you want us, can we take them all together, or do you want to proceed individually on them?
Jerry and Jan, I might need help with that. I'm not sure what it matters if we just take it, approve the report and all three of them, or if we should take them up individually. I don't remember what protocol is.
Yeah. Usually, well, individually.
Yeah. Well, we can do them individually if that's more comfortable. I don't expect much controversy, but let's start with first one, which is item 4A, approval of statement of investment policy.
This is Ms. King. I move to approve this the statement of investment policy updates.
Is there a second?
This is a
second. Thank you. The motion is to approve the statement of investment policy updates. We have a second. Are there any objections? No objections, the motion passes. The second item is approval of Dimensional Fund Advisors guideline change. Any discussion on this issue? Do I have a motion to approve?
Double motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Who is that?
Ford.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion is to approve Dimensional Fund Advisory Guideline changes. We have a motion and a second. Any objections? No objections. The motion passes. The next item is approval of the MFS guideline change. Any discussion on this issue? Okay, do we have a motion to approve?
Mr. Klusman, I'll motion.
Thank you, Mr. Klusman. Do we have a second?
This is Ms. Marvel, I'll second.
Thank you. The motion is to approve the MFS guideline change. We have a motion and a second. Any objection? Hearing no objection, the motion passes. The next item is the Administrative and Operations Committee report. I'd like to just comment. I noticed that on the committee assignment sheet included in the packet is not the updated one. Just so everyone knows, Mr. Klusman has also been appointed to the Administration and Operations Committee. Ms. Ella, you have a report?
Yes, good morning. The Administration and Operations Committee report met at 8:30 this morning. We have one item for approval today, which is the approval of contract with American Business Technologies. This item is noticed for closed session. Do we need to go into closed session to discuss it, Jerry?
I don't think so, unless someone is going to have some comments about the firm, but this is pretty routine. It's just an extension of an existing relationship. It's very ministerial.
Right, it's the printing of the 1099 forms, correct?
That is correct.
So the committee did vote to recommend passage of the contract. Is there...
Okay, does anyone feel a need to go into closed session to discuss this contract? All right, well then, I don't know if you're finished, Ms. Al, or not, but once you're finished, we will then vote on this item in open session.
I didn't really have anything much more to add unless Jerry wanted to add something.
No, I just want to, I will add that that was the only item of business before the committee, and so as Aisha has said, the committee recommends approval of the contract.
All right, thank you. Do we have a motion to approve the contract with American Business Technologies? Okay, do we have a second?
Who was the first?
Ms. King, and I'd like to second that.
Who was the first?
That was me, Aisha.
Thanks.
Ms. King was the second. All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the contract with American Business Technologies. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. The next item, item six, is new business. Mr. Allen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in your packet, you have the normal monthly listing of retirements, death claims, and refunds. For the month of January, just the normal monthly approval of the payroll. And if anybody has any questions or comments, we can take them now. Otherwise, a motion would be in order to approve payroll.
All right, thank you. Is there a motion to approve the payroll?
Mr. Chair, I'll make the motion. Mr. Campbell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Campbell. Is there a second?
No, second.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. We have a motion and a second to approve the payroll. Any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. And it's the next item, Mr. Allen.
There are no conference requests this month.
And what is the item approval and closeout of the 2020 budget?
Okay, this is a housekeeping item that occurs every year. As you know, the ERS, all of the bills for the ERS are paid by the city of Milwaukee. We remit monthly during the year to the city, and then at the end of the year, with an estimated amount each month, you know, based on our total budget. So at the end of the year, we have to settle up with the city itself, and every department does this, by the way, not just the ERS. So we have a closeout for the 2020 budget, and I believe there's an exhibit in your package. And so we previously advanced the city almost $15 million towards our 2020 costs, which are roughly $15 million and change. And so we have a balance that we owe the city of $687,835.11 that we propose to pay the city. It's a true-up of our estimated expenses that we've remitted mostly during the year. This is just a housekeeping item, as I mentioned. So if there's discussion, we'll be happy to address any issues or comments. If not, at some point we'd like to have a motion to go ahead and close out the budget for this year. This past, rather.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Allen. So this is really a reconciliation of the payments. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Klessler,
Mr. Bell just had a question.
Yes, Mr. Bell.
Mr. Allen, I was just looking at the chart on the page one. I was just saw the quite a bit of the reduction in the other operating services. I was just wondering what is included in there.
Are you referring to the professional services line item, or which?
It's the second last line above the total, the other operating service.
Okay, I have to scroll down, take a look at that. Okay, you're right. There's an excess of $681,000, and so normally what that's going to be is IT items that we did not have. We had budgeted for various upgrades and equipment replacements, etc., and we didn't need all of it. And Mr. Schober, are you in the line by any chance? Do you have anything specific you want to mention there? I guess he's not on the line. Terry, you have anything that you would like to draw our attention to?
As far as the IT stuff goes, we did replace the SANN thing, the storage area network, and a couple of other items. There was some talk about replacing or putting in additional network upgrade information that we infrastructure that we kind of moved over to this year. So that's why there's a little bit of a difference there.
Right. So it's mostly IT. There's some other items that we didn't, routine items that we didn't spend money on. So we had a generous surplus that was left. And of course, the big item is professional services, and a lot of that is attributable to our asset management fees. So the net was, the net difference was almost $5 million of actual expenditures that we did not need to make. Our budget came in at approximately $6 million, having budgeted almost $21 million.
Great. Thank you for that information. Just a quick follow-up. We're about a year into this new world of COVID. I was just wondering, you know, just generally, how did any of these expenditures go up or down based on our change and how we're doing business due to the COVID?
Not too much. I mean, the salaries. There's a position, so we didn't get the bill, and so the salary. There's a small balance on salaries and benefits. Actually, benefits were over a little bit because of the city's increase in benefit, but it really didn't affect us in terms of cash outlay very much. So everything went pretty well, I think, and I'm hoping that we'll begin to, you know, get everybody vaccinated here in the next couple of months. I'm personally hoping to be back in the office at the end of March. I'll get my steps of vaccination this week on Wednesday. And so we're hopeful that we're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Most of our peers are still working remotely, as are our money management firms as well. But it didn't really have that much effect on our expenditures.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Yep. Mr. Klusman, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. I don't know if this is for Jerry or for Mr. Gopalan. The second paragraph says that you, and I think Jerry, you mentioned it, that you advanced the city almost $15 million in our expenses.
Well, we pay monthly, that's correct.
Okay, so you pay that monthly, so it's not like a one-time advancement, like they prepay their contributions, so this is an incremental thing?
So yeah, that's correct.
Okay, and that's just a total of it. And then secondly, in the chart, it shows that salaries actually came in a little under, and you kind of touched on that a bit. But fringe benefits went way over, and as I understand it from prior year's discussions, fringes are a percentage of salary, which I continue to disagree with, but it's the reality, so I see that. So how then, if fringe is driven off of a percentage of salary, does salary decrease but fringes increase?
Yeah, and so that's a detailed accounting, but if you're on the line, maybe you can address this. Are you there, Dan?
Yep, this is Dan. And Yep, the fringe went in, it came in a little higher. So what happened is the city budgeted at a lower percentage rate, and the actual fringe rate was higher.
Okay, so what is the fringe rate that you were applying and that you now are applying?
I believe the budgeted amount was around 40%, and then the actual fringe rate was 46%.
Okay. And did you, I guess that begs the question then that generally we all know that benefits are not increasing in the city employment field. How then did we experience a 6% increase? I'm not aware of any benefit enhancements to our staff over this past year.
Well, there were no benefit enhancements, Mr. Klusman. The 40% number sounded low to me to begin with. The city's fringe rate is ranged at times above 50%, and so I was not surprised to see it come in at 46, but Dan, do you have any more details on that? I mean, there were no benefit increases. Maybe Ms. Sawa, are you familiar with whether there was an adjustment on the part of the city to this rate after initially proposed?
I don't think there was an adjustment. Now, the way that the fringe benefit rates are calculated on our side, there's a lag from the actual year that they use to calculate the fringe benefit rate, and the fringe benefit rates are calculated according to grant rules. But Mr. Klusman, I can probably send you a more detailed explanation if you care to have that.
Yeah, that would be helpful rather than just these generalities. If we're dealing with actuals, I'd like to see that because it cuts against what I'm, you know, otherwise aware of in the real world. So that'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I can send you the letter that we send out.
Okay. Appreciate that. That's all I have.
And one additional item that I'm aware of is when we originally set the budget for the fringe rate, we were in the process of doing a RFP for our life insurance, and the premiums came in much higher as a result of the RFP, so that could have had an effect on the increase in the fringe rate.
That I'm a little fuzzy with right now because that actually confuses the conversation because the life insurance rate is a three-year contract, and we are, I think, in the first or second year of that three-year, and it hasn't changed since, I don't think there was no change in the rates. Maybe Ica knows that better, but I'm not aware of any change in the life insurance rate, and we're in a three-year that's locked through December 31st of next year, 2022, so it was a 2021-22 out of employee benefits.
Yes, and the budget was budgeted back before the RFP was created, was settled.
Yeah.
I know the city has went from about $3 million for city employees up to like $4.5 million.
Okay.
Yeah. Just for the benefit of all the other trustees, so there's no confusion, these are not ERA-specific rates. They're citywide for all city employees that are determined, you know, pursuant to the benefit program for all employees. They're not just attributable to our, so we didn't do an RFP for life insurance just for the ERS employees. It was done citywide, just to clarify.
Okay. Yeah, and the 2020 budget would have been during the new period of 2021 and 22, but as I recollect that those rates were the same, but that's fine. Well, I can find that out from Ica when I'll probably see that in her detail. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Klusman. Is there any further discussion on approval of the closeout of the 2020 budget? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
This is Molly. I'd like to motion to approve the closeout of the 2020 financial statements.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Campbell.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. We have a motion in a second to approve the closeout of the 2020 budget. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, the motion passes. The next item is item number medical reports. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in the packet, you have the normal monthly reports from the medical panel and the medical council. The first one is the medical panel approvals report. There are five re-examinations that are recommended for approval by the board. That's again a housekeeping item. There's nothing unusual there. The second page is the medical council approvals report, and there is one new applicant, Chad Stepke from the MPD, and he's applying for a one-day disability, and that application is recommended for approval by the medical council. All the other re-examinations. Then on the last page, there was one application for disability from MPS. It was a lady by the name of Sandra Crawford, who was a educational assistant, a paraprofessional. This was for duty, and that application is being recommended through denial. And that's what we have for this month, Mr. Chairman. So a motion would be in order if there are no questions, or if there are questions, we'd be happy to take them.
So the motion is to approve the medical reports as submitted by the medical panel. Is there a motion to that effect?
And the council.
The medical panel and the council.
Yeah.
Right, cool. Is there a motion to that effect?
Mr. Campbell, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Can we have a second?
Kovac, second.
Thank you, Mr. Alderman Kovac. The motion has been, the motion is to approve the medical reports of the medical panel and the medical council. Any objection to the motion? Hearing no objection, the motion passes. The next item, item 8, is unfinished business. Mr. Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a report on legal opinions and service requests, and Mr. McLean ordinarily will respond to this, and he does have an opinion on the agenda this month as well. So, Mr. McLean, are you online?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Allen. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm happy to report that we're fairly well caught up on opinions. We do anticipate getting that fiduciary question opinion to the board next month, along with the fiduciary training that was requested, and deliver those simultaneously. We're hoping that it'll be beneficial to present it that way. As to the opinion that is prepared for the board today, it involves the global pension settlement, which I suspect everyone is familiar with, particularly the provisions governing the Firemen's and Policemen Survivorship Fund and the closing of that fund and the benefits bonuses that were offered as part of the settlement. The quick Cliff Notes version of this opinion is that there was the GPS took effect as of January 1st, 2000. But the bonuses associated with the, there was a policeman's class that began on February 1st, 2000. So the class started and the recruit's effective date of employment was 1 month after the effective date of the global pension settlement. The issue created here was that the ordinance, the charter ordinance provisions that put the global pension settlement into effect did not become finalized until approximately a year later and had a retroactive effect back to January 1st. So you sort of had a legal effect time gap here that rolled this class up. that class executed consent forms entering into the GPS, and there was a question as to whether they were eligible for the bonuses associated with the survivorship fund. It's actually a relatively straightforward answer, despite its, you know, initial confusing nature. This class is subject to the GPS. They consented to it. They waived any objection to the settlement's terms and conditions, and the GPS rather unambiguously makes eligibility for the survivorship fund bonuses dependent on the individual being in active service as of January 1st, 2000. And since these class members did not were not hired until a month after that date, they are not eligible for the bonuses either under the GPS itself or under the Chapter 36 provisions that were created pursuant to that agreement. So it's a long opinion. I apologize for that. There's a bit of history in there, but I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Right. So thank you, Mr. McLean. Do you have any questions concerning the opinion?
Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Campbell.
Yes, Mr. Campbell.
I'm actually in that class, and that class, I just, a minor correction to what Mr. McLean stated, actually started February 21st, so it was roughly 2 months after the 1st of January 2000. I don't believe this is an action item, but if it does become an action item, it would be something I would recuse myself from, being that I'm one of the class members of roughly 30 people or more that might be involved.
All right, thank you, Mr. Campbell.
That is correct. Thank you for that correction. I apologize. I'm noticing now it's typoing my notes, so thank you for that.
Will that require a correction of the opinion?
No, it's the opinion should be correct. I believe just my handwritten notes here. I just made an error.
Yeah. All right.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Allen. All you have to do, there's no action, as Mr. Campbell stated. This is an opinion, it just goes on file, so there's no vote need necessary by the trustees to adopt it or anything like that.
Okay, yes, thank you. I just want to say that, you know, the law is what the judge says it is, and this is an opinion, it's an informed opinion, and it's very logical and well-written opinion, but there may be litigation on this, which would be the final resolution if the parties themselves decide to contest it. The next item is legislation request pending and proposed legislation. Mr. Allen?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's my report, and I'm working off the screen today, so please bear with me for just a second as I get this item up. Okay, so for pending legislation, the first item, communication from the city comptroller relating to the audit of ERS data center controls. This was placed on file by the county council. They accepted the audit report. It was a clean report. So that item is concluded. The second item in part one there is communication from the Employee Retirement System and the Department of Administration Budget Management Division. There was as we discussed last month, there was a hearing, and that hearing is completed. It's just held at the call of the chair. There's no further action to report on that item, and I don't anticipate any. Pending legislation for committee referrals. The first item, pension contribution offset, no action on that item for a while. I should mention that, nothing on that one. The next one, outside earnings test, there is a legislative committee of this board scheduled for next month on March 24th to consider amending the board rules, item 17G, relating to disability outside earnings capacity provisions that's contained in the charter to provide for an offset, you know, based on earnings capacity, whether or not somebody actually has a job. The current practice for about three decades has, by board rule, has been to offset based on whether or not a person has income reported on their 1040 And so this legislative committee will meet to consider altering the board rule, and I'm sure there'll be a robust discussion about that item. All the trustees are of course invited for that purpose. A resolution adopted by the Milwaukee Common Council requesting state legislation regarding ERS required employer contributions. As Mr. McClain mentioned, he will have that opinion available to the board next month. Following that opinion, there'll be possibly a legislation committee in April to consider what position the board would like to take on this, if any. So I guess we'll stay tuned for the opinion, but there's at this point nothing further pending on this directive. And that would be the legislation report for this month.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any questions on the legislation report? No? Okay, Mr. Allen, you're still on for item C, the executive director's report.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This month on personnel update, we're still working with the Department of Employee Relations to fill the operations director position. And I understand that they have received applications from 7 or 8 candidates. And we'll be scheduling interviews shortly. Melody is attending to that. I expect we would probably in the next week or so sit down with some of the candidates to review their applications with them. On member services, we had new retirees on the payroll in January of 52. We expect to have about 60 this month, and that all seems to be going rather well. We have a number of retirement seminars coming up this year. You can see on the report there's some for General City Police and Fire, and they're scheduled throughout the year in spring and summer and even into November and October. I'm going to skip down to financial services. The actuarial census data has been sent to the actuary. So Pat and Larry's firm is now doing what we call scrubbing the data, and they will come back to us with any questions or comments. We have a back and forth, about hours reported and service reported. It's a process that goes on every year, so that's normal. One thing that wasn't normal, the next item, was the 1099-Rs. The IRS kind of pulled a curveball to all the people that issued 1099-Rs, and it had an effect on not only all the public pension plans in Wisconsin, the WRS and the county, but also on the tax firms like TurboTax. They changed the 1099 form, but they didn't really highlight or tell anybody about it. So we all ended up, they changed the box on the form is what happened. They made this change, it was minor, and we ended up issuing a revised 1099 to accommodate that change. And so our members got 2 1099s, and the second one is the one that's operative, and it also happened to the county and the WRS, as I mentioned. So all the public pensioners in the state who had a 1099-R would have received some notice. In our case, the box that was changed only affected people that had state withholding, so it was it didn't affect the whole population. But anyway, the members all have accurate 1099-Rs now, and hopefully they'll be able to file their tax returns expeditiously. We're going to send out what we call the outside earnings letter by the middle of March. This is a letter that goes to people who are on disability, early retirement, and there are some people that have an offset in this group if they have outside earnings, W-2 reported earnings that are in excess of the threshold allowed under the city charter. That's a routine housekeeping item, and so that will be performed as usual in March. And we did, earlier in this meeting, have the reconciliation of the ERS expenses that were paid by the city. And so I guess the next item on IT, everything is clean and green, as I like to say. Things are moving along nicely. I want to thank Jeff and Terry and Manny and all the IT staff. This year, knock on wood, we did not have to worry about any outages due to cold weather. We have seen a 1 or 2 in the past. We have an anomaly sometimes where when it gets really well below zero, our computers break, which is very strange, but it does affect the air conditioning in the data center, but we've deployed remedies over the last few years and avoided the problem this year. The last item, I think, is probably one of the significant items for each of us, all the trustees and the officers of the ERS and all of my direct reports as well. We file a statement of economic interest with the ethics board. It's due by the 28th of February. And so this is just a general reminder to please go online and fill out your statement. You can submit it by fax or you can submit it online. There's a digital provision for digital signature. And this year, I guess for the first time, I noticed I got a confirmation back, so that's nice that they upgraded their system over the ethics board to that. And but please do file by the 28th because they tell us that there is a fine of $50 for every day that it's late. I guess they're serious about collecting it. So just a reminder, and we'll send out another email before the end of the month, but please file the ethics statement if you haven't already. For our new trustee, I believe Ms. King Christensen has already filed her statement because she's required to do so after 10 days after being sworn in. But everybody else has closed one by the 28th if you haven't been already. So that would complete my report for the month. If there are questions, I'll be happy to take them.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Allen, Mr.
Yes.
Plessinger?
Yes, Mr. Plessinger.
Yeah, Jerry, just on that item with the 1099-Rs,
yeah.
Could you, I heard from several retirees concerns about that, and if I heard from a couple, there's probably more. Just could you, if I don't believe that there was an explanation like you just gave in the revised form, so people think this was some kind of mistake on our part, maybe add into the next newsletter so that just what you said about how this was an IRS issue, it just helps to not shake people's confidence in the competence of our system and office. This wasn't our fault, and I think that would be well received by retirees because some thought this was a buffoonery on our part when it was not.
Okay. Well, I will do that, Mr. Klisman. I forgot to mention, we did put a notice on the website, and also we sent emails to people whose email address we have. We elected to send out a new form. The explanation is rather complicated. We didn't want to confuse people, but we can do that. We'll put it in the newsletter, and hopefully that'll clarify it. It just has to be the box for state withholding. And I do. My wife is in the WRS, and one of her friends, and we did notice that we got an explanation from the WRS, but it was very confusing. Not only that, but they had they revised the forms that you put the wrong amount of income on the new 1099. So at least we avoided that problem.
Okay.
So, but we'll be happy to do that, Tom. We're always happy to communicate with our retirees.
Yeah, thank just you. Something brief, just saying what caused it, not us.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Anything further, Mr. Allen?
Not in the report today. We do have informational items coming up. And there is an item on informational we need to talk about.
Right. All right. If there's no further questions for Mr. Allen, we'll move on to item number 9. And the Annuity and Pension Board will now vote to convene in closed session on the following item, ERS litigation through outside counsel as provided in section 19.851G, Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. We then may vote to reconvene in open session following closed session. Or I think we can also vote to adjourn out of closed session. So is there a motion to go into closed session?
Bell will motion.
Do we have a second?
King will second.
Roll call.
Mr. Bell?
Aye.
Mr. Campbell?
Aye.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye. It is now
quorum?
9:59. Quorum, yes, sorry.
I'll pause the recorder.